This is episode number 300 of Making Sunday Happen, Better Than I Found It with Phil Joel. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen. This is episode number 300 of our podcast. Thank you so much for being on the journey with us. We've been doing this for over 5 years now, and we are just getting started. As you can see, we have a new look to our podcast, and we also have some exciting things on the way in the next few weeks. So be sure to stay with us. This week on the show, I welcome Phil Joel. Now, you might know Phil as the bassist from the Newsboys. Also, he's the lead singer of the band Zealand. And this week, I'm going to be talking with Phil about his heart for worship, and we'll also walk through his career in music and also leading worship at churches and through concerts over the years. So I'm really excited to share my interview with Phil Joel with you, and it's coming up right after this.
Hey, children's pastors and leaders. Get ready to transform your kids' worship experiences with 1230 Kids. We're serving your children's ministry with a massive, ready-made media library with done-for-you countdowns, games, mini-movies, full kids' series kits, lyric videos with hand motion versions for kids' worship, and more. Pick up media individually or save with Go Unlimited with plans as low as $33 a month. We also provide custom media for kids' ministries and curriculum providers. We've produced custom graphics and videos for Seeds Family Worship, Awana, Children's Ministry Deals, Go Curriculum, Yancey, and others. We also provide free training for your kids' leaders. Get help with social media, church online, volunteers, programming, worship, and more. Get started today at 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com.
Hey guys, today I welcome Phil Joel. Phil is a New Zealand musician, worship leader. You know him as the bassist for the Newsboys, along with Zealand and his solo projects. Phil, welcome, man. Thanks for hanging out.
All right. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Man, I am just envious of your hair. That's just all day long, baby.
Seaweed is what it is, man. Seaweed.
Well, thanks for taking the time today, man. You've had quite an interesting year, right? You've been traveling around through all this mess, right? Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's been fun. Well, you know, like everybody else, things got shut down March 12th. We were on tour, Newsboys United, which has been going for a couple of years. And we were in Ohio and we got told, you know, it's all over. Go home. And until we call you, you know, until this thing calms down. And of course, at that point, wasn't it 5 weeks to shut the thing down or something? Yeah.
Crazy.
So anyway, we're just starting to pick things up again now, you know. But it was cool because it gave me time to hit the studio, and I have a little studio behind the house like everybody does now, you know, in the spare room or wherever it is. And I wrote a bunch of songs in 2019 while on the road and then recorded them last year. They came out this year.
And you live in Nashville, right?
Yep, live in Nashville. That's home. Yeah. And then in the meantime, also back in January, we shot back to New Zealand, which is, you know, where I'm from. And I played at a music festival down there, which was great because they can only let, you know, nationals in. Can't let any foreigners in. So I was able to go down and play and had to quarantine for 2 weeks, you know, like you have to do in a hotel. Yeah. Locked in there anyway, it's been an adventurous 12 months or a year, you know. What are we into? We're into month 15 of 2020, is that right?
Exactly right.
So it's been really fun. The record came out and I don't know if fun's the right word to use, but you have to sort of take the good, the bad, and the ugly and roll it all together and just kind of shrug your shoulders a little bit and it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. You were traveling with your family, right? And so you guys all survived. Nobody killed each other.
Yeah. Everybody, no one killed each other.
Everybody still liked each other, right?
Yeah. We had two rooms and the kids were busy, you know, and Everyone seems, as long as you've got like a laptop and you've got, you know, you can connect to the world and you can do studies and you can do all kinds of stuff. So yeah, the world is a lot smaller now, even though things have changed.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to kind of walk through a little bit of your backstory. And I was telling you before we started recording a little bit that this podcast is called Making Sunday Happen. And so we are all about the worship experience. So we talk to worship leaders and tech guys, pastors, that sort of thing. So I'd love, just as we go, for you to, any advice for worship leaders that you got, because you've been around a little while. Would love for you to just impart anything as we go. So you were born in New Zealand, right? And really started your career with the band Drinkwater, right?
Yeah. Wow. That. You're digging.
I'm digging way back.
Yeah. Started with a band down there, and that was just, you know, we're a bunch of teenagers jumping around and having a bit of fun. We were believers at the time, but it wasn't really the essence of what we did necessarily. It came out in certain lyrical content, but it was generally about having fun. You know, Red Hot Chili Peppers were big at the time, and Nirvana and, you know, all that stuff, just kind of guitars ruled the world.
Yeah.
So we just made a lot of noise, jumped around a lot, and had fun. Yeah. So, and then we were open for Newsboys and open for Newsboys when Newsboys is just sort of, you know, getting their legs on, together. And I got on really well with them. And then a few months later, after the band that I was in had dissolved, and Newsboys called 3 o'clock in the morning, I get this phone call, you know, saying, "Hey, what are you doing? Can you play bass?" And I, at that time, I was a guitarist and lead singer, and I'm thinking, sure, how hard can bass be? You know, 4 strings. So I jump on a plane and fly from New Zealand to Los Angeles, and
next day kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And wow. I go to a rehearsal room, and I'm terrible, Carl, you know, because I'm like this. I'm trying to play like a bass player, you know. And unless you've been playing bass for a while, you know, these muscles don't, you know, they don't just all of a sudden jump to attention. They just have to. So anyway, I was pretty bad. And so at a certain point, I reached into my pocket, and I was like, "Hey, can I use a pick?" And they're like, "Man, do whatever you can, because we're going to put you on a plane.
Good, we don't care.
Yeah, we're going to put you on a plane and send you home if something doesn't happen." So I started playing with the pick, and it all changed, and so the pick saved the day.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Okay, so I'm going to take you back. So 2000, you released your first solo album.
Yeah.
Watching Over You. Now, trivia. I want to see if this is true or not. Your first tour was with Katie Hudson. Who's Katy Perry now? Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that trivia right?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So what was it like doing Newsboys and solo career at the same time? When did you kind of pull off from Newsboys and do your solo thing? And
well, it was, it wasn't intended. How do I say it? The opportunity came along, and Peter and Wes, who, you know, started Newsboys, Wes's manager, Peter, lead singer, you know, they started a label, and they offered me a deal, you know, the Phil, you know, we know you, you want to make solo records. I'm like, all right, why not? Now I've got a bunch of songs floating around. And so I did, I made made a record, and it seemed to do pretty well. God Is Watching Over You was the first single. And, but eventually, you know, we just had our first kid, I think, after that came out around the same time. And I just hit the wall, you know, just too much, because the record had started to do well. They sent me out on the road touring and with solo stuff, and then also touring Newsboys as well.
Right.
And I got a young family, and I'm just like, you know, right. It's a wonder I still have any hair, honestly. But because I was tearing it out at certain points, because there just weren't enough hours in the day and enough of me to go around, you know, to sort of do everything to the level it needed to be done, you know? So, sort of at a certain point, I made another solo record. I've actually made 5 or 6 over the course of the last 20 years. But, at a certain point I just said, "Guys, I can't do it all. You know, what do you want me to do?"
Right.
And they, you know, they're like, "Well, hey, we don't want you to die. We need you to do Newsboys, you know, we need you as a Newsboy." So that's kind of where my focus went back to that. And, but I kept, you know, eventually I made another solo record, and then I made another one, and just,
yeah,
because there's always songs floating around, Carl, you know?
So when did you realize that, you know, you're on the road to burnout? And I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but, you know, obviously with your wife and kids and with God, how did you kind of know, okay, I've got to either stop or I'm going to fry out?
I think, you know, and I won't say that that opportunity wasn't of the Lord, you know, to make solo records, because that's what I'm focusing on now, solo music, and I'm enjoying it, you know, and I'm enjoying playing those songs from back then. But I think, you know, sometimes just because it's a good idea doesn't make it the right idea or a God idea. Mm-hmm. I just think you have to be in tune with the timing of things, and relationships are the most important things. And if you're spreading yourself too thin for the people who really love you and that you love and you care about, that's going to be a number. That's going to be a red light right there, you know, or an orange light, we should say. Yeah. Slow down too much. Let's work this out. What needs to go? And some things just need to go for a while. You know, they just need to be like put on the shelf.
Right.
And then, you know, years later you go, it's time.
I
love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, these guys in churches, you know, especially after exiting the Newsboys, I found myself in churches, you know, ministering, doing my thing. And I hadn't before, you know, this was a new thing for me. And so I'm kind of learning church culture and how they work. And, you know, so you're a volunteer, but you do this and this and all that. And you're on staff, but you know, I can see how people hit burnout in that world because they get stretched so thin. And, so, you know, boundaries again for those people, boundaries for me now, I need to know how much I can do, when I can do it, what my parameters are, and just stay within those rails. Otherwise, you know, I'm useless to everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me about, obviously you guys, on stage, you know, you're touring everywhere, popularity. Tell me about these, you know, maybe speak to the worship leader that, on how to stay grounded. How do we stay centered in our faith and not realize that it's about, you know, our own ego and things like that. Talk to me about that some.
Yeah. marry a good woman. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I've taken on the practice in the last 20 years of just getting up every morning and spending a little time with the Lord and starting my day that way. And I know that's just kind of old school, but it's old school because it makes sense. You know, people have been doing this for hundreds, if not thousands of years, just starting their day, being still, centering on the Lord, centering on Him, realizing and helping Him realize who we are, what we need to be doing this day, how we need to love and how we need to serve and whatnot. Those things that, you know, I need that because I'm pretty dang ADD, Carl, you know. So centering like that has been a big deal for me continuously. And, you know, I don't know, you know, people ask, you know, well, how do you handle people coming up and saying, hey, and, you know, in the airport or wherever. And I'm like, you know, people, they're not there trying to stroke my ego, or they're not like, wow. I think the genre that we're in, even if it's worship leading or if you're in this, you know, Christian music, gospel music, whatever, the platform is different. What you're standing on is different. And I think what people are sort of trying to say when they're approaching and saying, hey, I appreciate you. I think really what they're saying is, I really appreciate what you do. You know, you've helped usher me into something new. You've helped lead me through a difficult period. You've helped soundtrack a joyful period. This has been helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, and that sort of stuff actually means a lot. You know, if you think that it's about, you know, you, and if you think these people are coming up to you and sort of saying, hey, you know, then yeah, it's not going to go far, and it's not going to, you know, it's not going to serve you or anybody else well. But the reality is that's not what people are saying. You know,
and I think I think about some of the well-known pastors too, that maybe we've seen fall over the last few years, and you're speaking to that not to be careful not to live a double life and to be grounded in our faith and things like that is what I think about for worship leaders too. You know, it can be easy for pastors, but I think it can be easy for worship leaders well to put on a face or a mask or have to be on stage. Oh, you have to be on all the time. You want to speak to that at all?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, like I said, you know, worship leading has been kind of, it's almost kind of been a new thing for me. I mean, I got invited to lead worship for a bunch of youth conferences a number of years back, and I got really excited about it. You know, I'm like, this is fun. These kids are kind of crazy, and they just, they want some energy, and they want to be ushered into something new, and they want to know it's okay to, and that God is good and is for them. And so Zealand, you know, zealous for the land was the whole idea. And you know, we still got stuff. We still got a few events on the books, which is great, coming out of COVID. And so I don't know, leading worship is kind of a new thing, but I think sometimes I don't know how I would do being in a church, having to lead worship week in, week out. That could be that. I don't know if my makeup would work for that, but the guys that do, I just think are just awesome, you know? Yeah. And I think it's really powerful what they do and the fact that they can do it every week. And, you know, and sometimes I'm sure they go through tough phases, even when maybe they're not really walking even in alignment with where the Lord would have them. But the cool thing about God, you know, Carl, I think like this, whenever I hear about stories about people, you know, who are just like, maybe not living quite right, living up to the potential of who they are, or, you know, or just letting things fall apart in certain areas and not being healthy in their thinking or their behavior, we'll call it that. But are still on the platform or still, I kind of think, well, okay. Yeah. There's a time for people to step back and step away and get refreshed and get right. But then other times, man, I know that God will still get the good stuff through those people because his people are thirsty. Yeah. And they want refreshment, you know. And I think about Moses, like when the people they're there, I think it's Kadesh Barnea, and in this area where, and they're thirsty and they're like, you know, groaning and mumbling, and Moses has already tapped the rock at a certain other point and water has come out, and he's like, do I have to do this again for you? You know, why me? And God's like, what are you talking about? It's got nothing to do with you. You're just my guy in this moment.
Right.
And he acted arrogantly. And in that moment, he wasn't allowed to go through into the promised land. You know, that was that moment. That was that time. It's kind of sad. But Moses went and tapped the rock anyway. And he wasn't even supposed to. He was supposed to speak to the rock. He didn't even function correctly. He was sort of, you know, arrogant, worn out, a bit grumpy, taps the rock, disobedience, if you want to call it that. And you'd sort of think, well, what's going to happen here? Surely no water is going to come out of this rock. But it does. And the people get refreshed, you know? And I'm like, oh, that's so good. And it makes me think, you know, sometimes I'm grumpy. Sometimes I'm prideful. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm disobedient. But for some reason, God will still use what it is that I bring to the table to lead and will bring refreshment to people, you know? And the person that gets ripped off, me. You know, because I'm not getting to enjoy the fullness of that moment, of that time, and whatever it is, you know. And so, yeah, I don't know. And that helps me. It cuts me some slack at different points. It makes me go, you know what, I don't. You know, pressure valve gets let off, and I'm like, it's okay. God is good. He's gracious. He's kind. And it's not about me. It's about these people. And okay. And thank you, Lord. Yeah, we'll work on my stuff. Let's keep working on my stuff, and I'll keep doing what I'm called to be doing, you know. Yeah.
Good.
It's kind of, that helps, right?
Yeah, it does.
Otherwise, you feel like it's absolutely all on you, and you've got to be this element of some sort of like beacon of perfection and oh, no, it's not at all.
Yeah. I think I have more respect sometimes for people on stage when they admit that, when they just are just open. Hey, look, guys, today I'm super messed up.
Yeah.
And I, you know, praying that God will use me in this moment and that, you know, something will come instead of this mask of trying to be perfect.
And you know what is crazy? I think God puts us in those positions, worship leaders, pastors, teachers, preachers, because we need it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm in those situations and I'm seeing people seeing things really, God moving, good things happening. And I'm going, oh man, I needed this. Yeah. I needed this. And he keeps putting me back in those situations because he's going, you know, you think you're here for them, but you know, really you're here for me and you right now.
Right. So along that vein, and you mentioned this a little bit, but Zealand kind of turned your thinking a little bit in terms of worship, right? Tell me kind of that period and how God kind of moved to change your thinking a little bit.
Yeah, I've always been a fairly energetic character, and I love being happy. Happiness is good. And I think, you know, I got to lead kids in worship, and I wasn't even sure about it. You know, I remember my friend who was a speaker, Joel Johnson, he said, hey man, you want to come out and lead worship for, Acquire the Fire, Teen Mania events. And I'm like, I've never led worship before. I don't really know how to do that. You know, I've been in a rock and roll band, playing bass, traveling the world, doing this stuff. But and an element of Newsboys has always been a worship thing. We've always had an element of that. You know, He Reigns, I Am Free, those songs, It Is You. But he's like, no, you can do this, you know. So I did. And I was just like, this is awesome. You know, this is so fun. This is so not about me. This is about me leading these kids to something bigger and better. And it's, this is great. And so I kind of fell in love with the whole idea. And Zealand, you know, kind of came out of that, and Word Records got wind of it and they liked what we were doing. And so we made a couple of records, and it kind of just happened, honestly, Carl. Yeah. But I think sometimes too, you know, like I'm 48 years old, and you think, oh man, I'm timed out. You know, kids are going to listen to me? They're going to listen to me. No, I'm too old, you know. But you got to, nah, man, we need everybody, every age and stage. And kids are just looking for the real deal too. They just want authenticity, and they want someone to just, you don't have to be, or you know, feel like you understand everything about where they're at and on their level and speak their lingo at all. They just want reality, you know, and sharing a song and leading into it and explaining, hey, this is what this is about, and this is why we're singing this, because this has been good for me, and this is truth that I need to hear, and has continued to help me, and this is why we're going to proclaim this tonight.
Yeah.
So are you with me? You know, and they're like, yeah, heck yeah. So that's been that comes into our minds though, as when we're leading worship, you know, oh, am I too old? Do I not look the part? Am I, you know, all these stupid little voices. And it's like, you know, shut up, you know, shut those things down. Just do your job and tell the truth.
Yeah.
Tell the truth and then sing it, you know.
So speaking of kids, you and I were texting back and forth on this. You guys, we just launched a new kids ministry that shares media content with kids,
cool.
Like countdowns and mini movies and stuff like that. And you guys, you and your wife, started Deliberate Kids. Was it out of that kind of worship leading experience, or how did that?
No, it was nothing to do with. Oh, actually, you know what? No, it kind of was. Because we were asked to lead worship. Like, oh, this is pretty funny. It was like height of Newsboys world. I was walking down the hallway at church one Sunday, one of those rare Sundays that I was actually able to be home. And I'm getting my kid into the classroom. And this man comes out and he goes, hey, you look like you could lead worship. Are you a musician? I'm like, yeah. He goes, here, he hands me a guitar and he says, the 5-year-olds need a worship leader. You know, can you do it? And I'm like, okay. So I go in there and I kind of make stuff up too on the spot. You know, these kids are coming in and I'm like singing little songs to them. And, but I was like, this is fun, you know? And so I got to do it a few more times. And then I thought I could write some of these songs for my kids. A few years kind of went by. My son, who loves rock, he's a little bit older. He was sort of 8, 9. I'm like, man, I can't find music that I kind of really want him to sort of, that I, you know, that I want, that number one isn't kind of cheese ball and just goofy beyond cool. But I want it to be rock and fun and energetic, but I also want to get good stuff into his head, you know, down into his heart. So I wrote a whole bunch of songs and recorded them in my little studio. And then I took them to the record company I was with at the time. And they said to me, you know that when you record a kid's record, it's career, it's over. Harry, it's Harry Carey for your career, you know? And I'm like, wow, that's not good. But I thought, who cares? You know, these kids, yeah, they need this stuff, you know? So yeah. I made two records just to make sure my career was well and truly dead. Yeah. But you know, I just think what better place to put some of our musical energies and creative sort of, you know, gas into kids.
Yeah.
This is the next generation coming through. We've got to get some truth in there, you know, got to get some imagination going.
So it's Deliberate Kids, and you guys have two albums and a bunch of different resources and stuff, right?
Yeah, we've got a few things up there. We've got some music videos. We haven't really paid enough attention to it. Yeah. But it's cool music.
All right. A couple minutes we have together. Tell me about your new project, Better Than I Found It.
Yeah. Well, made in my little garage studio behind the house. And, you know, COVID, man, I had a little budget. And I thought I was going to spend it on maybe this producer or this engineer or, you know, whoever. But I ended up having to do the whole thing myself because we're all too afraid to be in the same room together. So I did most of it myself. I did coax a few friends into the studio to help me occasionally. And my son helped out. And then That's I awesome. Sent things off to, you know, to my friend in Idaho who mixed it and whatnot. But it turned out great. You know, I'm really proud of it. It's not your classic CCM music. It's not worship album. It's really just about what I feel sort of needs to be said right now. And Better Than I Found It kind of sums it up. The chorus is, you know, I want to leave it better than I found it. When it's time to get out of here, I want to make sure that I've left this planet better than I found it, you know. And it's an old school lesson, but I think it's an important one right now. We really need to sort of, and I think a lot of people are thinking about it. Yeah. What am I doing? How am I spending my time, my money, my energy? What am I doing? You know, am I going to leave this place better than I found it? Or am I just, or am I maybe a part of the problem and not the solution?
Yeah.
And that can go in all different directions, obviously relationship directions, the work of our hands, ecologically, how are we taking care of the planet? Are we being good stewards of God's creation? You know, what better way to honor our creator than look after the creation? And so that's kind of the theme in the record. There's also themes of togetherness and unity. And I'd like to think that we as people of faith would be sort of the first at the scene to sort of reach out and say, hey, here I am, take my hand, you know, here I am. I love you. Maybe I don't understand you or get you, or, you know, maybe there's been conflict, but I'm with you and I'm for you as another human being, you know, and I'm going to love you as best I can. And how can I help? So I think that's where we're at right now. And the church is learning that, like, how this isn't about us huddling and just trying to survive. This is about us now, you know, engaging and learning to thrive and learning to serve. So these themes are on the record. And themes that are, you know, just things, really things I'm just thinking about and that the Lord, I think, is putting on my heart to stir.
That's awesome, man. Well, as I leave you today, I got a crazy question to ask you. So you might not have an answer for this, but here we go. I've asked a couple of artists this question. Is there a cringeworthy song or album in the past that you're like, man, I wish I hadn't done that? Or like, is there a Newsboys song that you're like, oh man, I know we did it every concert, but it was tough to get through.
Yeah, there is. And this might be a real disappointment to a lot of people because it's kind of a lot of people's, a lot of people have good memories with this song. And I do too on a live front, but there's a song we have called Breakfast.
Yeah.
And Breakfast is like lyrically, it's very clever. And Steve Taylor is like one of my favorite people on the planet and is a genius. And Peter, his melodies and his songwriting in the midst of that, just unreal. But I just feel like that the message in Breakfast sometimes misses people and they feel like they're going, yeah, we're going to heaven and you're not. And, you know, there's no breakfast in hell. Ha, ha, ha. You know, it's a little bit like that, where it's just Steve Taylor being ironic and being goofy, you know. Yeah. that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm a little bit like, I hope we're not feeling like, yeah, we're the ones and you're not, you know, maybe I'm overthinking it.
Nice. Cool. Well, Phil Joel is philjoel.com is your website, man. Really want to encourage people to check out your new album. Really, really good stuff. You got some great videos on there too of your family in quarantine and just some fun stuff.
Did you watch the video? Did you watch the video with the Bigfoot?
No, I did watch the video with you guys in the hotel, and so that's why I was asking you. Like, I'm glad that you didn't kill each other, because
now you got to watch the you got to watch the music video with the it's got my sailboat in it and a Bigfoot.
Yes, I did see you on the with the sailboat. That's awesome. And you
keep watching. Got to keep watching, Carl. You know, it's too tempting to flick to the next YouTube thing, isn't it?
Well, you know, I was scrolling, I was trying to take in everything. Yeah, I have to go check it out, man. So
right.
philjoel.com, man, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate your just hanging out, your time and all your wisdom today. Appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, thanks, Kyle. All right, we'll do it again sometime.
Hey guys, Stallion here from the 1230 Media team. Listen, today I want to talk to you about our blog. This is a free training resource available for you over on our website. That's right. If you go to 1230.media/blog, you can have access to the entire library. That's over 600 articles written by ministry professionals, church staff members, volunteers, friends of ours directly from the ministry trenches. We try to cover a wide variety of topics ranging from communications to production, worship, volunteer culture, anything that has to do with the worship experience. During the pandemic, we even added a category called Church Online, and this is great for both the pro streamers, the veterans out there, and the people just getting started with online church. You can browse the articles by category, or if you find an author you like, you can continue to see what else they've written. Ultimately, we hope that we can help you transform your worship experience.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Hey guys, thanks so much for checking out episode number 300 of our show. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Phil Joel. I want to give you a taste of some of the guests that are coming on the show in the next few weeks. We did several interviews at the Be Church Conference in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's where we are now. I interviewed Ronnie Phillips Jr. from Abba's House. He's the lead pastor there. I also interviewed Shannon Odell, who's the lead pastor of Brand New Church. Also, Alan Holmes, who is the lead pastor at Definition Church. And the author of The Five Love Languages, Dr. Gary Chapman, will all be on the show in the coming weeks. And my friend Michael Lukaszewski from Church Fuel. All that is coming to the show in the next few weeks. Also be on the lookout because we have new segments that we'll be adding to the show over the next weeks and months to come. Well, thanks so much for checking us out. Be sure to look at our website, 1230.media. That's 1230.media for ready-made media, custom media, and also a bunch of free and affordable training for you and your team. Well, thanks so much for checking us out. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.